Thousands of New York area residents affected by Hurricane Sandy continued to seek food, supplies, and government support at various disaster centers set up by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. On Staten Island, hundreds of cars poured into the parking lot adjacent to Miller Field behind the New Dorp High School, seeking help with everything from baby diapers to FEMA assistance to rebuild their ruined homes. WBAI's Jose Santiago was there and files this report.
It's a little frustrating, the waiting, not knowing. I'm actually here for my brother-in-law today. We need FEMA to come in the house. No one will go into his house at all because his main floor living has gone and the foundations have moved, so the building's got to be condemned. So we're here to find out how we go about doing that.
One of dozens of people who lined up outside the FEMA tent this morning waiting to sign up for assistance. This as word spread that only about two dozen of the more than 5,000 families that have applied for temporary housing have actually been placed.
I'm in New Dorp and I had to be rescued by boat. My family's pretty much homeless right now and I'm just trying to get a little help. I have three kids and my wife. The water came so quickly, I lost my truck, I lost all my tools, I can't go to work.
Erasmo Torres, one of the hundreds of New Dorp area residents staying in severely damaged houses and who are growing increasingly frustrated with the inability of government to respond to their needs.
FEMA's playing games. They assessed my damage and they were like, not enough lost. The guy didn't even really check. And the truth of the matter is they're playing a game now. You have to go through the SBA. See if you're admitted for a small business loan. If that doesn't help, you will go and if you're approved, no, this is a trick. If you're approved for the loan, FEMA doesn't help you. And if you, like, say if you're approved for the loan and you don't take the loan, FEMA doesn't help you. So you're pretty much in a, like, oh, got to pay that money back, whatever they give you. Afterwards, FEMA doesn't want to see, I'm a renter. So I have to have my renter's insurance, see what they give me, and then from there, FEMA will see if they gave me enough, then FEMA's out of it. So it's like, I just been sick. I finally got me a generator. I've been freezing in the house. Looters, they broke into my car and stole the car radio. It's like, people are going crazy out here, but I got to protect what little I have left. Thank God I'm keeping my family with her parents. But I have to hold down what I have.
And what have you been able to pick up here today?
I'm just trying to get some diapers and some drinks and stuff like that, you know.
Hurricane victims are increasingly concerned over what many say is a government that has been overwhelmed with the enormity of the task of providing financial assistance to homeowners, many of whom lost everything, at the same time that it struggles to find temporary housing for the up to 40,000 New Yorkers left homeless by the hurricane. In one case, hundreds of people initially housed in one Staten Island school were forced to leave there with less than an hour's notice when classes resumed this week. They complained about a lack of planning. Many Staten Island homeless now face the prospect of being placed in the former Arthur Kill State Prison, which was shut down last year and officials say could house as many as 900 people. The proposal has been condemned by the Staten Island Borough President, but state correctional officials have reportedly begun preparations to begin placing the newly homeless there. You can't go anywhere in the communities hit hardest by the hurricane without seeing relief efforts set up by local residents, handing out blankets, food, and other provisions. At Miller Field today, corporate groups set up assistance tents as well. Cellular phone companies were helping hurricane victims get reconnected. Major national insurance companies were assisting people with their claims, and food providers were handing out food. This worker is with Tyson Foods, which handed out thousands of chicken sandwiches today.
This is our Meals That Matter trailer. We set up in disaster reliefs. Our philosophy is, hey, you're our neighbors, and this is what neighbors do.
And a lot of people have been coming and getting food?
Absolutely. I'd say of all the chicken and all the foods we're preparing, probably 10% of it is distributed here at the tent site and so forth. And then about 90% of it we're packing up in these ice chests right here. And the military, the police, and other volunteers are taking it into the community to be distributed at the house level.
I think a lot of people who haven't seen this, maybe seen it on television or the newspapers, aren't aware of how
vast this is. This is a whole field. There's many tables of things for people and a lot of people coming. What's your sense of the scope of this?
You know, I'm from Arkansas, quite honestly, and so I really don't have a good understanding of what the scale is. But it's huge from what the police officers and the military has been telling me. I have made some trips into the neighborhood and so forth and down here. I don't know really how to judge it or give you an actual number, so to speak. But just looking around, it's crazy. From what we're seeing here, it's huge, and it looks like it'll be ongoing.
Erasmo Torres is hoping the agencies set up in the emergency center can help him before they pull out. He says he's hopeful despite all the setbacks so far.
I believe in God, and I know we'll get through this, you know, because honestly, the community is sticking together, and that's who's helping. Because the government, you know, they're saying they're trying, but they're changing it, and hopefully they do, because I heard this on the news also. It's not a hurricane anymore. Now it's a windstorm. So the wind brought the water. If that's the case, then if you didn't have flood insurance or anything else, now the insurance companies have to pay. That's another way the government gets out of it.
And whichever way you turn, it seems like there's just red tape.
The funny thing is, the news report I heard before all this is we're lifting all the red tape. And I think it's like gorilla red tape or something, because that thing is strong because they're not lifting it.
Meanwhile, on Staten Island today, funeral services were held for the two toddlers who drowned when surging waters pulled them from their mother's arms during the hurricane. And yesterday, several hundred police officers lined up outside a Catholic church in the New Brighton section of Staten Island for the funeral mass of 28-year-old police officer Artur Kasprzak, who died after pulling several members of his family to safety. We spoke exclusively with Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly.
He lost his life addressing the needs of his family. He made certain that they were safe. He went down to check the house, and he drowned in the basement. So he made certain, as I say, that he did what he had to do and took care of his family.
And so it is going on Staten Island, with many displaced people feeling they are a long way from returning to normal. For WBAI News, I'm Jose Santiago reporting from Staten Island.